I'm like, what is exercise?
I can't work out on my own. Even if I had a gym at home, I wouldn't.
We can. I have no self-motivation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My 10-year-old tells me if I'm grumpy, I have to go work out because he says that when I don't work out, I'm grumpy.
Even I was told I need to work out so that I can keep carrying them on my shoulders without complaining. And that I should really think about investing in superhero training.
Hi, and welcome back to Sensory Play Reimagined. It's a podcast exploring how sensory play can help unlock your child's development and well-being potential. I'm your host, Rachel Rothman. I'm a toy expert and mom of three. Today, we have a super special episode. I have three amazing mothers on for our Mother's Day episode. I am so excited to have all of you. Thank you for being here. I figured really briefly, I'll let each of you introduce yourself, give your name, kind of your children's ages, anything else that you feel comfortable sharing in regards to who you are, who your children are, just so that people have a snapshot of who you are. So we'll kick it off with Colby, if that's good with you.
Yeah. Great to see you guys. Good morning. I'm Colby. I am the mother of a wildly active 2-year-old daughter. We live in New York City, and I'm also a psychotherapist in private practice, and I support young professionals and adults. So I work with a lot of parents as well. So I love to sort of have these conversations, and so much of my parenting, I think, is informed by what I see in my private practice and all the things I'm trying to not do. I'm just excited to talk about all the things I'm learning and connect with you guys.
Thanks, Colby. Megan?
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm Megan Harper. I'm a mom of three. My kids are 10, almost 8, and 5 years old. So I'm on the other half of the crazy time into a new crazy time, but it's much easier. I'm the president of the community at Show Up Authentic. I run a marketing agency that markets to parents overall. And we have cows on the way from Pampers to Wubbanob up into like tween accounts as well now. And we really just focus on marketing to parents. And I talk a lot about on my Girl Gone Child account about being a working mom and how you can do it all. It's just kind of a poop show.
Sometimes literally.
I'm a big advocate for working mothers and not leaving your career when you have kids and sticking with it, because it comes down the other side. There's a lot of benefits to it. That's also comes with a lot of poop shows.
All right. And I'm Philippa. I have 2 children. One is 12 years old in 7th grade and a 2nd grader who's almost 8 years old. I work in finance. So I don't work with kids and I don't work with parents, but happy to be here to sort of discuss my own experience.
Fantastic. Thank you all for being here. So appreciate it. And I think even just like in the brief introduction of like who you are, having personally and professionally such varied backgrounds, I think is going to be really helpful and enlightening in the conversation, because I think as parents, and I think we can all agree on this, like we all are constantly going through ups and downs and trials, tribulations, these moments of joy and excitement, a lot of, you know, mundane along the way. And I think that is a shared experience amongst all of us. And, you know, I've had this conversation with all 3 of you, but then outside of that, you know, the personal of our own unique situations, you know, that are constantly evolving. I've known all 3 of you for a long period of time, and I have seen evolution. So again, I'm excited to dive into that and explore that a little bit more. And again, just thank you so much for being here. So as parents, I know all 3 of us, we shared at the lead, like we're all working parents. We all have very busy plates, and yet we are still constantly, I know all 3 of you are constantly engaging in play. Have there been ways that you have found that like amidst the crazy, you're able to kind of incorporate it in a way that feels maybe a little bit easier, a little bit more, less like the preparation and organizing and getting everything ready, but have there been moments and or ways that you have found that you've been able to just like naturally get your child really engaged in play? So like Megan, again, I know that your kids are usually running around while you're doing other things. Like are there ways and or ways in which you have set up your space? Are there ways in which?
Yeah, the weather got warmer.
Period. That's it.
Well, I think it's, my kids are very, they love art. Like if I give them art supplies, they will go do art. Unfortunately, art is very messy. for a lot of the time. So now that the porch is open for business, we have a big like wraparound board in Charlotte now and have a big like wraparound porch. They spend a lot of time outside doing art from like making slime and Play-Doh, things I don't really want in my house. I find that the weather gets nicer, they get so much more creative because I send them outside to go do things outside, and I don't care if slime gets all over my porch. I don't, I think my, it's more of a me thing, but I think when the weather gets warmer, they get way more creative.
That's beautiful. But I think like so much of how our children are able to interact with things also have to do with our comfort level with it. You know, like you're not going to be the messy, like you're not going to allow your children to engage in messy play if every single time you're having a really hard time with that. You know what I mean? So I think you've created a scenario whereby your
house isn't clean. I didn't say that. I didn't say my house was clean. I said it's
not adding on to the mess.
It doesn't have slime. It doesn't have
My house looks like three kids live here and I'm okay with it. Because three kids live here.
Because three kids live there. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Proof of children. But I do think like the outside thing, all of us live in an area where we have four seasons, you know, where, and I think then you also see what play looks like in each of those different seasons, you know, during, I personally like, I like winter and I like in spring. Those are like the two seasons for me that I really like, because in winter it's different. So like snow, when there's snow, that's really fun for the kids to like go out and play and it's different. And then in spring when it's just like warm and lovely, and like you said, like the doors are open, the kids are outside, they love being outside. I love them playing messy with their art supplies outside, but also just being outside. You know, they're playing tag, they're playing, you know, chase, they're going on the swing set, whatever it might be, that they're just, they're naturally engaged and entertained outside. And also, I'm sure Colby could better speak to this, but like the therapeutic impacts of being in nature, you know, everything that that brings with it. So,
I mean, my kids are very different ages, so they don't play together outside very well. Like, outside play for my second grader means I'm also playing outside, which is not always ideal. So I sort of embrace the slime and the sand and the Play-Doh inside. She sort of plays in an area that's easily cleaned up, the kitchen island, and that works for us because she really, really likes that sensory exploration and those textures.
And Cold, you're in an apartment, which is obviously, you know, the three of us live in houses where there might be a little bit more room to roam. What are some ways that you're able to do it in like a potentially more confined space?
Yeah, I mean, I was totally overwhelmed when I first became a parent with the idea of like, how am I going to create all these sensory bins and have like this amazing setup when I don't have that much space? But we got the IKEA table with the bins and we invested in some other ones that we could put on the floor and we throw a towel down, you know. And the best activity I ever found was when she was a little bit earlier in her toddlerhood and I was like, I need to take a shower. What am I going to do? No one's here. What do I do? So I just like used the soap from the shower, got her a bunch of pots and pans from the kitchen and some mixing utensils, locked the bathroom door, and she was happy as a clam. So I think I kind of like learned that I don't need as much. I just need to have some essentials, things like, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but like painter's tape is my number one. We were on a flight and I packed it, but I didn't realize I had it. And she was just not having it on the flight. What do I do? The painter's tape not only saved us through the flight, but then the car ride. And we didn't need an iPad. We didn't need anything. We just engaged in so much play with painter's tape. So I think, yeah, just really like simplifying it and also just kind of letting the mess happen is something I'm still working on, but we do it.
Coles and I always say this, I have painter's tape on subscribe and save because we literally go through, I don't know, six rooms, you know, in a week. But it is something that, I didn't realize even as an engineer how versatile painter's tape could be. You know, it's good for enclosing an area. It's good for them to make, they make spider webs and then I have to go through their obstacle course. They make liking, you know, art with it. Just feeling it, you know, that sticky tackiness on the backside of it, which as you can see, I don't particularly enjoy. You know, I have one child who like loves to do it, literally will like even put it against her face and, you know, every which place on her because it is such a different texture and sensation for it. But I think like, I think that we've all been there in those moments where it's like, I think we're also, we're subject to seeing so much on social media where like everything does look like perfect and it looks idealized and it looks, and thank you, Megan, for showing the real side very frequently. I very much appreciate it. We will share everybody's, you know, social handles afterwards. But I give you a lot of props for that, that it's always very authentic to who you are and who your family is. And it's not sitting here being like, let's create this perfect moment. You know, it's like, I'm living, I'm experiencing it. And this is how I experienced it. And why wouldn't I want to share that with you? You know, it was joyful. It was chaotic. It was all these different things. So props to you for that. And yeah, thank you for
you
that.
You had three under five. So you get it.
Yeah, I did. I had three under 3.1. And then global pandemic hit. That was a doozy.
And now a word from our sponsor, EduShape, the original sensory company. EduShape is a 40-year-old expert in child development toys. It started working as a trusted supplier of daycares and preschools and has since expanded to support families and special education globally. It has been featured on The Today Show, The New York Times, Cosmopolitan, Good Housekeeping, and more. Their toys are rated 5 stars by millions of consumers. And just for Mother's Day, EduShape is offering 20% off all their toys on EduShape.com. Shop today through May 15th and score a quality toy for your little one at a great price.
Megan, if you don't mind talking about that a little bit, like you have 3 children, close in age, all friends, and yet also very, very different.
Very different. Yeah, I have three. I have 3 under 5. They're all pretty close in age. They do get along really well. I'm very lucky for that. No cold blood. My husband just chuckled. I think he heard me over there.
I think that's also a testament to you and to your husband. And
well, it's funny. So yeah, my son is very, very on top of everything. He's good at everything he does. He's one of those kids that he picks up a baseball and he's pitching. He's just very good at things and like everything comes natural to him. He's very, you know, happy and like the favorite guy in the classroom. Then we have my daughter, my middle, who is a little funky. Like she's a little bit of, I don't want to say weirdo, but she's a little bit of a weirdo. She's a lot like I was growing up, doesn't care about dolls or things like that. She wants to, you know, make art and, you know, she likes things. Her favorite color is black. She's a little funky. She's also adorable, which is kind of cute with it, I think. I think it's like it kind of compliments. But she also has this really great attitude of she does not care what other people think. And I am so jealous of that she has this ability to be like, yeah, it's just me. Which is a lot different than my son, who is very a people pleaser and, you know, straight A's and does all the right things and won't go very far in my life. My daughter's a little bit funkier. And then we have my youngest, who's very, very sweet and very shy. So we have 3 very, very different personalities, 3 very different play styles in our house. None of them are like sit in front of a TV or iPad kids. Like it'll last for 30 minutes and then they have to go like climb up something and possibly break a bone. That's kind of how my kids are playing. They don't do well sitting. They're on the go, but they get that because their dad and I are both like that too.
I was just going to say, do you mind like sharing a snapshot of that? Like, what is that like to parent when you have 3 kids inside your house who all are playing differently? Like, do you ever feel your attention being split?
There's 2 things that I say that stick out in my mind that I can give both of, I can give these 2 objects to my kids and they will play together quietly. One is Lego. All 3 of them are obsessed with Lego. They will build a Lego set from start to finish together. It worked together and each one has their little like section. So I think Lego has been like a godsend for us because it's something they can do together, and there's no argument and everyone's engaged. And then when we have balloons, I know this is silly, but you buy painter's tape. I buy bags of balloons. If those kids have a balloon, they still play Keepy Uppy from Bluey. Like this balloon will go on for hours.
Play up the tree.
Yeah, it's funny. So like that, like the balloons, but I mean, you know, they are really big, like outdoor kids. They do love to like go ride their bikes and things like that. It's just, you know, it's really hard parenting sometimes when my middle daughter's all the way up in a tree, tying a jump rope over, hoping to swing down. And my son, who's very cautious and a rule follower, is freaking out. And then you know, my youngest, who's impressed, she you know, makes a lot of decisions based on her older sister, even though she's a little bit shyer. It's like kind of following in her footsteps a little more to be a little bit on the edgier side. Yes, That is, but yeah, I found things that they mutually like, and the two girls will play art together all day long, even though they're very, very different.
Yeah, I think like within play, there usually are some unifiers, you know, that when you, I have found as a parent, me taking a step back and kind of removing myself, like becoming more of an observer, which at first was challenging. I will like openly admit it was very challenging for me, but by kind of like sitting back and observing and seeing where are they going, what are they doing? Sometimes it surprised me. Like I know I have one daughter who loves art. I have one who loves music. I have one who likes more physical. Like I'm aware of kind of what they usually gravitate towards, but when they're together, sometimes it's a little bit different. And I by taking a step back, I was able to see some of the things that they gravitated towards together. And I likewise was surprised. Like in a million years, I would never be like my kids would play together with Legos as much as I wanted to. You know, that's something I think when I was kind of doing it and, you know, trying to model it to have them come join it, it was less enticing. But when I kind of removed myself from it, it's something that they gravitate towards together each and every time. We also found like I actually built like a Lego wall. So I made a vertical wall. And I think just by nature of having like a different space, something that felt, I don't know, maybe more interactive, more novel, whatever it might be. So that's actually a space that like I continue to be surprised by, but they likewise, all three of them really enjoy doing Legos together. I do not follow the instructions ever.
Yeah, I need to see this vertical wall. Okay. Well, it's funny, when Lego happens, my middle does not follow instructions. She's just getting and dives in and starts doing it. And my son is very meticulous to like follow every little single rule. So there's a little bit
of order.
In order. And if there's a piece missing, like you would think, like I've killed his dog. It's like not a, it's, he's very, just likes things to fit into a row, very much so.
Yeah.
And our little free spirit, it's like, it's okay. You can just, you don't need that piece. So that gets a little bit strange.
I'll share with you the Lego app. If you have like just bins of Legos, like one, just bins of Legos is fun, obviously, for anyone, but the where you scan it and then it'll tell you what you can build from it and it'll do the step-by-step instructions for you. I, as you guys were saying that, it like brought up in me so much of like myself too, like, and I'm very type A. I was very organized. I needed to follow the rules. I needed to do things in a very structured way. I don't think I realized probably like the way that my brain was wired until I had children. You know, like I was aware that I had certain proclivities. I was aware that like I liked certain things, but I don't think that I recognized it until I had my own children, just like how differently wired we can all be. You know what I mean? And I recognized a lot about myself through having children, whether there were certain similarities, whether there were stark differences, whatever it might be. I just feel like I learned so much about who I am through children. And I don't know if that's a similar experience for any of you as well.
Yeah, I can absolutely relate to that. I feel like it makes it, both of my children are very different than I was as a child. So it makes it difficult for me to sometimes understand what's motivating them to be the way they are, and even to help and advise them, because what would work for me doesn't necessarily resonate with them. Like I was your first child, Megan. I was meticulous. I was, this is the order. I was not super flexible creatively. And my daughter, she is very creative. She loves to draw. She loves to paint. And my son is not super motivated. He's very, likes to be alone. He likes to be with his friends. He doesn't like to be outside. It's just, it's very different from I was as a child. And it just makes it, it's hard. I know more about me because of them, but also makes it, highlights how much I don't know about being a parent because I don't know them so well.
And we continue to, and I can attest seeing you with both of your children, like you're an extremely attuned parent. You're a very aware parent. You're a very gracious parent. You're
trying.
Like I know, but I mean, one of the reasons I had all three of you on, like you're all three mothers who like, I'm getting teary-eyed because like, I'm literally thinking of you as a parent and you're such a beautiful mother. Like you are such a beautiful, beautiful mother. And all three of you are mothers who like, I've learned certain things that I want to do and I want to take away from it. Like I watch Colby with her daughter and like, I'm blown away by the thoughtfulness in every single statement that you make to your child. Like it is, I don't know whether it is you're realizing it in many of the moments or not, but you're so attuned to, and I say this to all of you, like even just as you're talking about how your children are different and how you interact with them and how they interact, like all three of you are just so attuned to your children and their different needs. And whether you think of it in the vein of through different sensory modalities or emotional, you know, profiling or whatever it might be. I have watched all of you like be so hyper aware of your children in a way that is really profound and beautiful. So anyway, that is why I wanted all three of you on here, because I have seen firsthand how you as parents are so mindful, so thoughtful, and also just like your children blossom just being with you, whether you realize it or not. Like I have seen the reverberations of you being around your child and the impact that it has on them. So I just wanted to share that with all of you. And I think touching back to what Colby was saying, like I think as moms, we often feel this need to have like these super elaborate, impactful things. And some of the things that I've personally found to be the most impactful in my house are actually the things that are like not so big, not so, you know, pre-planned. And I think some of that is, yes, having the right materials. Like we have a few basics that are going to always be on hand. Stickers for us are also still really big. And I know some houses are sticker houses, some aren't sticker houses. Some are, you know, take it or leave it. We are big sticker houses. We are big tattoo houses. We, you know, I have paper and art supplies in every single room. So we have like art carts that are, you know, set up in each of the kids' rooms. There's one in the kitchen. There's one in the living room and in our play space. And it's something that, you know, at any point they can go to and get and do themselves. And it has been like last night, I was putting all three of them to bed. They have very distinct personalities. My three children, bedtime can be very challenging to satisfy all of them simultaneously. And they're still young enough where I am very much a part of kind of that process with them. But each of them have their art supplies. So I was like, okay, how about, you know, one of them was working on a letter in their room, and you know, I was able to focus on the other one, and we were kind of able to like work through it with that. But recognizing one, what resonated with them, and two, just kind of having those supplies on hand. And then to Colby's point of like setting up pots and pans in the bathroom, I have a trampoline in my bathroom. So the trampoline in the bathroom has been like game changing. So this morning I wanted to shower for all of you. You're welcome. Whether or not you can smell me or not, you know, I showered for you. And I was able to do that because I have a sensory seeker who needs input, and there's no time she will say no to a trampoline. So I was like, come, let's go. And, you know, for her, it was super exciting and engaging. And she was in the bathroom with me. And I think there are, you know, like you figure out the ways in which one it's good for them, but also good for you. I know a lot of.
Yeah. We bought a mini trampoline in COVID when we were in New York City with the three kids.
Yeah.
We bought that literally just because if my son doesn't get ran like a golden retriever, like he can't move. So yeah, the mini trampolines.
Mini trampoline. Yeah,
he
for the win.
Get out because he's pretty big, but like it was golden when he was younger.
I got mine's actually an adult like mini like exercise one, so yeah, now it's like a little, yeah, so it's a little bit bigger and they can still jump on it, and yes, that's what I have, and I have like direct line of sight to what they're doing. But I think I get like I know moms who like the kid likes to put on makeup in the bathroom or whatever it might be, or play with the shaving cream in the shower. You know, we have a wall, and so one of mine loves sensory play, like loves water, loves shaving cream, loves all those things. So anytime I'm taking a shower, she's also very happy to go in with me and just like do the stuff on the wall. You know, whether or not if she chooses to take the shower or not, you know, that when it's not her prescribed time to be doing it, but she just loves being in there and being led and, you know, whatever it is. So I think I think by figuring out what are the things that they enjoy and just kind of like facilitating it as part of whatever it is that we're doing, it's something that works.
Yeah. And I think Rach too, like I think what we're all talking about, right, is like it's sometimes I visualize it as my curiosity compass where like I have it in my pocket. I'm like, oh, I need that compass right now. Just to be able to bring that sense of like curiosity, right? To like, okay, what are they liking? What are they interested in? You know, and be able to kind of follow that a little bit and then incorporate it. And I feel like I'm hearing that with everyone here, right? It's like just being able to settle into or drop into yourself and be like, okay, I'm here. I can handle this for 5 minutes, you know, and what are they up to? What are they reaching for in my cabinet or, you know, pulling out of my closet or, you know, whatever it may be. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, totally.
Our third is like a wild card for us. She's the probably sweetest and calmest of the three, but it's very funny that she is the only child we have. She goes upstairs and plays by herself for hours. And like, I don't know how that happened. it's the strain in my head. We've never, like, our other kids are very much like, what's she doing? We're like, they need us to, like, play. But our third is like, she is happy being by herself upstairs playing with her dolls. Won't bother us. And I didn't see that coming from one of my kids, because my other two are just not like that at all.
I think that that's, like, kids can always surprise you no matter what. You know, you had one, you had two, you thought, like, okay, this is kind of, like, the pace of it, and then something kind of, like, curveball.
Yeah, she's their curveball. She's very, very sweet and very, like, self-sufficient, I guess, yeah.
It's so cool what happens when you just let them be, you know, when you don't try to control their play experience, or you're not trying to kind of create a structure for them when you're anxious about how am I going to cook dinner or do all these things that I need to do, or I have a work call or something, and you just kind of were like, oh, they're okay. They're figuring it out. They're not that bored, you know. I don't have to entertain them right now.
Yeah.
Though that can have its downside. I recall during COVID, I was on a work call, home alone. And my daughter rushed in, she's probably 3 or 4, and she's like, Mom, I made a skating rink. I'm ice skating. And I went to her bedroom, and she had emptied an entire bottle of lotion on the floor and was, like, running across the floor, sliding back and forth, that she's made a skating rink. So, yeah, good and bad.
So, yeah, so during COVID, my girls knew, like, if I was on a very important work call, they had to be quiet. And I was on a really important work call. The youngest was upstairs taking a nap. Gigi, my wild child, had been quiet, which is very odd that she had not bothered me this entire time. I closed up
the meeting. Quiet can sometimes be the red flag.
And I come out, and she likes to tie things. She likes to tie things in knots. She slept with a screwdriver for the first, like, 2 years of her life. From, like, 2 to 4, she was emotionally attached to a pink screwdriver that she slept with underneath her pillow. But she's just kind of a funky kid, and she's always liked things that were not typical of what most, you know, 4-year-old, 5-year-old girls enjoy. And, Barbies make her throw up. This has been an issue for us in the past. She sees a Barbie, and she's like, it makes me nauseous. It's a very strange thing. I don't know if that's dramatic from her perspective. I think it is. I don't think it's actually a repulsion of Barbies. I think it's more of a, I don't want to be a girl that likes Barbies. But anyway, so I'm sitting in a meeting. I close on my computer, and I'm like, why is it so quiet? I'm actually terrified it's so quiet. I walk around the corner. She has tied herself up in the blinds and is standing there quietly. How long she had been there? It was an hour-long meeting. She could have been there for 45 minutes. But, like,
she's suspended in the air. I'm just trying to visualize this.
She was standing on the Lalo table. You know, like, the Lalo. She was standing on the Lalo table and had tied herself up completely. And was standing there quietly. That was probably my, like, weirdest COVID story of, like, my kids were told to behave or they were going to get in trouble and or, like, give them something to do. Was not lotion on my floor, but then I did have to cut. As she tied it, so I had to cut the blinds off.
I think think so much of parenting is recognizing, like, where you are in the moment, where your kid is in the moment, what the environment and the circumstances is, and also, like, just giving yourself a pass every now and again. Like, we're all a human. We destroyed, if my mother-in-law is listening, I apologize again for this scenario. We destroyed her bathroom. And it was like, it was the one safe space that the kids, like, we can keep entertained for hours on end, during the pandemic. And we, like, used it as our, like, safe haven for them to be able to do messy play and all that stuff. And, crayons that were meant to be, you know, resistant to and wipe off did not wipe off so well. So, that was one of our, disaster stories. But I think just, like, again, recognizing what you have capacity for, what your child has capacity for, and not following suit to anybody else. So, like, in our house, my kids, it took a long time for them to be able to kind of go off on their own and do more independent play. But we have cameras in the room. They're aware that we have cameras in the room so that if we need to, we can check in, we can talk to them, whatever have you. Like, if I left my, while the room is child safe, kids are inventive. They're creative. I don't know what they're going to pick up along the way. I don't know. You know, if multiple ones are in there, something could happen. They are still children when, you know, my children have very different kind of temperaments and profiles and all that stuff. So we have a camera, you know, and for me, that is kind of like, we're allowing them to have more and more independent play, but I'm still able to keep, like, a watch on them. And they're aware that we have, like, the capacity to do it. It's not like we're you know, kind of hiding it from them. They know that we have the ability, and we'll drop it and be like, just checking in, all is good, and, you know, they can chat back with us. So I think one, it's a matter of like knowing your child, and two, also knowing yourself. Like, I wouldn't be comfortable if they were up there for an hour by themselves and I didn't have eyes on them. And that's on me, you know, that a lot of the time that might be on me, but also like, I know my children and I know I probably shouldn't allow them to be in that space for an extended period of time without me doing kind of a check-in. This morning they were downstairs for like, I'll say like 20 minutes alone. And I probably popped in like two or three times just like to check in, and like first two times, totally fine. Third time, it's like, all right, we got a fire situation. I gotta get down there ASAP. And kind of help facilitate it, you know, which I was able to. So continually giving them kind of a little bit more bandwidth, a little bit more opportunity for that, but also recognizing where I would feel comfortable too, I think, you know, is also very much an active part of whatever's happening with them in terms of like their growth and independence as well.
Yeah, we're free range household.
I like that. Let's all, you know, I'm more of a pasture raised kind of situation here. And then I was just thinking of like, you know, Colby, you were sharing on the plane. I think that there are certain moments that like just by nature of the situation are going to be more challenging. And have there been any things that you have found that have been like really helpful or supportive for you? Like, I know for travel for us, the two things that have been game changing before every single trip, and this again is because of who my children are, we create a social story, and those are just like hyper personalized stories for our children so that they know what to expect, kind of, you know, we list out how they might be feeling, you know, kind of giving them a preview, and also you know, an understanding, and for them that's extremely helpful. We have found things go significantly more smoothly when we do it. And also they each have, you know, what I'll refer to as like a busy bag. And the bag itself remains the same every single time, but the contents inside of it will vary up. And I usually have like a 2-3 rule. So two of them I'll put in that I know that they're going to like, you know, whatever those things might be. And then I let them choose three. So they feel like they're having a little bit of, you know, choice of autonomy and independence around it. But also, are those the best choices for a plane? Randy, maybe not. You know, all those types of things. So like, I'll take those into account with the ones that I'm choosing, and then they can kind of swap and share and do different things. But I have found the consistency for them. They know what to expect. They know where to go. They know what it is. You know, those are the two things that have been incredibly helpful for us. Are there things kind of analogous for you and your family, whether it's for travel or, you know, Megan, I know, and Philip, and you guys both do a lot of travel. Are there certain things that you have found really helpful? Again, you've shared your kids kind of have different personalities and approaches. Are there things that you have found really kind of like, oh, this was a great thing and have stayed with it?
I loosen up screen time when we're traveling. They get to watch as much as they want, watch as many movies as, well, appropriate movies as they want on the airplane. And for my daughter especially, she also gets to pick the toy she brings, which isn't so big fight, because sometimes she wants things that too big, doesn't travel well, but she enjoys sort of taking them out and tucking them in her seatbelt and having them look out the window and all the things. So just, I find that it's better if she chooses than I say, hey, how about this one instead? And then she's like, I'm not going to play with that. That's not the one that was meant to be on this trip.
Right.
So some freedom around what she brings, and just, like you said,
being loose.
Yeah, being loose. And I'm not as prepared as you are organized in terms of creating a bag and thinking really thoughtfully about all the things. But I try and have, no, she likes the color.
So I do that mostly for myself, to be clear. Like, I thought, like, it's helpful for me, and then I know it's helpful for them. So yeah. Not that everyone should prescribe to that. It's just that.
No, I get it. But just make sure I have some coloring supplies
right
around so that we can do that when she gets bored.
I was just going to jump in really quickly before Megan. I had to pack a checked bag once with a plush that was so big, because if we did not travel with it, we were not going on this trip. And she slept with it every single day. But I had to check an entire suitcase with a massive plush. So I see you and I feel you.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, they're old enough now. But I used to travel a lot with them when they were toddlers, and I flew a lot with like the three of them by myself, or like two of them by myself and pregnant. There was a couple of things that really stand out. The iPad game Sago Mini, it's like a learning game and you can't lose. So like this is like the perfect game for like a toddler to like 4 year old because they can't lose. They're not getting frustrated by this game or anything like that, but they are at least being interactive and they're not just sitting there watching a movie or something. Sago Mini was like a game changer every time we flew. And then we also had those Mo on the Go bags. That my girls still take everywhere. They're like art kits and they have Play-Doh in them and they have all kinds of like fun sensory things to do. Those work really well on flights. But I mean, the wow coloring too, when they were toddlers, that was like the best thing ever. Cause I could just fill up the little pen with water and then I would do.
For those who don't know, those are the Melissa and Doug Wow water pens and they have like different books and different things that the kids can play with. We still have those too. We bring them into the bath now, like more just like fun than drawing one.
Yeah, stickers on the plane.
Stickers. So we do the like the peelable ones.
Yeah, the peel ones. Exactly.
Pro tip: don't have actual stickers on you during a plane ride because they will put it everywhere, and the flight attendants will not be happy with you. I say this from lived experience that it was an oopsie moment for me, and I realized never to have stickers on the plane again.
And we're in that stage too of like sort of seeking independence, power struggles, all that sort of stuff. And I feel like the biggest piece around all this, and I think you guys are talking about it too, right, is the collaboration. So we have this ongoing thing right now about we're starting potty training, we're going through all that sort of stuff. And she's still in pull-ups and she refuses to change her diaper. And it's like, she's got a stinky poop. And we're like, oh man, what are we going to do? And so we had to basically come to this like agreement of we're going to collaborate to change her diaper. And so it's now like, I'm not ready yet. And we have to set a timer and like kind of move on her schedule and in a safe sort of amount of time, like in 2 minutes or something. But just this idea of collaborating or packing when we're going somewhere, like she also refuses going in the stroller or the car seat. So it's like helping her sort of get involved in the planning, like you were saying, Rach, about like, okay, we're doing this thing. Here's what to expect. What will help you feel grounded? What do you want to bring of your own into the experience? I feel like has been so key for us because we're just doing a lot of bursts right now. And I feel like collaboration is the only way we're getting through it.
And I think it's collaboration in the prep, but it's also collaboration in like when the tricky moments happen of the problem solving, like you're saying, you know. So it's the preparation for it, but then like life happens, things are going to happen, problems are going to happen, and saying, you know, and we employ this strategy a lot, and I model a lot of my language after you, Colby, but around like, you know, okay, but, you know, this happened, X happened, whatever it is, like, how do you think we can fix this, you know, or how do you think we can solve for this, or what would feel good for you in this moment, or whatever it might be, but having them as a part of that process, obviously, depending upon the age or the stage or the capability, kind of supporting that and navigating that and kind of directing that, but empowering them to be one, a part of it in a collaborative way, but also that they're coming up with the ideas, things that feel good for them too. And, you know, that has been very helpful for us as well.
It's amazing you say that, how much learning happens from parent to parent, because I've seen you do that problem solving thing and I've now incorporated
all of us.
Like, hey, look at this happened, how can we solve this? And then working together to problem solve. So that's amazing. Thanks, Colby.
Thanks to someone else, whoever I got.
I think, you know, again, I think we all, you see things and in some cases it's, oh, this could work and this could be really helpful and beneficial for us. And maybe it's just kind of a framework. And then sometimes it's also like, oh, that would not work. That would not, you know, we're going to not do things that way. Or, you know, I want to modify that or whatever it is, you know? So I do think a lot of it is the community, is the collaborative. And I think for us, like all of us were parents at some point during the pandemic. And I think there was so much isolation. There was so much, unfortunately, lack of like the physicality of the community. And I was so appreciative when that came back. I don't know if you all experienced that as well, but it was like, we really went from, in myself in particular, like very much isolated to now having a group of people to work with, to rely on, to support me, to support kind of, you know, we're not meant to do things in isolation. I became extremely grateful for it, and I have leaned into it in a way I don't think I would have leaned into as heavily had I not experienced, you know, that stretch of time. I don't know, again, if that's something that resonates with any of you. Megan, I think by nature, you're just like a very engaged, charismatic, connected.
I mean, there were times that I hung out, we were on the first floor of like a race apartment building in Sunnyside on a very busy street. There were times where I just hung out the window begging people to talk to me that wasn't living in my house because I couldn't take it anymore. And, you know, we were locked in for pretty like a good 3 months into that. And then slowly we had friends that our kids had friends with, and we had kind of like a pod going on. But I will say, like, my kids are very social kids, even the kind of slightly introverted one, they need their friends. They're extroverts. They need to be around people, that are not us and their sisters and brothers. So I think that's like a huge thing for them. And, you know, my daughter didn't go to school. She went to like half day. My youngest didn't go to really school until this year's her first like full year, like all day long school. She's picked up some bad habits, like not being a picky eater. But like other than that, like she's just like such a happier kid, I feel like, too.
Kids also learn by being around other kids, you know. So my kids were predominantly around their siblings, and that's a lived experience, and I was grateful that they had each other. But then they did get to go out into kind of like the vastness of the world. And yes, there are going to be moments that it's like, that wasn't a great pick me up. But then, you know, so many other beautiful ones that they do by socializing with other people. You know, kids learn by seeing, by doing, by experiencing, and or by seeing and experiencing, you know, other people doing it. So, yes, I was really grateful when we were able to like, and to see that. So even though there were some moments where I learned, I was also the profound positive impacts of it to me. I was like, all right, I'll take this. I'll take this any day, personally. Before we go, I was hopeful, just because it's Mother's Day, is there a piece of advice that you would give to other mothers? Either one that you've heard, one that you live, one that you believe in. I could go first with mine, since I'm putting you all on the spot. My mother shared this with me, and I share it with any new mother, and it is, when somebody gives you advice, smile and then do what your heart tells you. And I think it's so true of so much. Like, we're all constantly being inundated with like, you should do this or you should do that, or someone's being judgmental, or you think you should be doing something, or whatever it might be. And yes, I have learned by hearing other people speak, but also I am their mother, and I know them best, and ultimately I think I'm a pretty good mom, and I care deeply about my children, and I'm going to act in their best interest. So instead of getting upset or hurt or whatever, just like taking it in, you know, maybe smiling, maybe it won't be so well-intentioned, but then afterwards kind of trusting my gut. And that was something that it took me a while to like really believe more in myself as a parent, and do that, and not to feel judged, and not to feel like I should be doing something else or whatever have you, but to like really trust that. And that was something that lasted with me. So thank you, Mom. I love you.
For me, I would say, especially having two kids with very unique personalities and unique learning challenges and unique differences, it can be very isolating when you start comparing your kids to other kids. Like, why isn't my kid more athletic? Why isn't my kid more this? And you talk to other parents and you realize everyone's sort of going through the same struggles. And I'm not a big social media person, but I watched a few things with parents. They're supposed to be funny, and they are, with middle school parents. And I'm like, holy crap, I have the same conversations with my son, you know, about why is homework not turned in, blah, blah, blah. Like, most parents are having very similar experiences. So talking to folks, you'll realize you're not alone. You're not alone. And there's really no need to do it. Everyone has their own challenges.
I'll go next. Someone told me this when I was going through postpartum anxiety. She actually was like, she's like, you have to figure out you, because stressed out moms make stressed out babies, and stressed out babies turn to stressed out toddlers turn to stressed out preschoolers, and it's on from there. And I like think about that all the time when I get overwhelmed or I start getting stressed out or I'm not happy in my own mental health. Like I feel it reflecting off my kids. So I always look back. That's like the biggest gift I think the kids gave me is like not everything's solvable, but like a lot of it's like a much smaller deal than what I'm actually like giving it the space it needs for right now. So I think like just know that like this is hard, but I'll try to like take care of you too, because stressed out moms do lead to stressed out kids. And right now with the rise of anxiety and depression with our kids, I think it's really important this generation like make sure we take care of ourselves too. So I think that's like the one piece of advice that I really think is great. Oh, and it doesn't matter what your kid eats, they're still going to eat like crap by the time they're in middle school. So
thank you. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, no. And I'm like, yeah, like the things I think I like used to stress out about, like I was, I breastfed all three for a very long time and I was like very particular about their diets. And now I'm like, you want McDonald's? That's cool. Like, let's grab McDonald's. Like, I think like a lot of it's like, a little bit here and there is not going to hurt. But I was so very hyper aware of everything they put in their bodies when we were little. And now I'm like, yeah, you can treat yourself every once in a while. It's good for you. But yeah, the stress thing in mothers. And the fact that in this country, we don't have great access to postpartum care for mothers is really troubling. And it's doing nothing but affecting the mental health of our kids too. That's where it's there.
Yeah, for me, it's about just focusing on being a good enough mom and reminding myself that I'm good enough, right? Like when I feel the pressure, like, did I do this? Did I not do that? Or what are other people doing? Like you guys are talking about also, especially when they're so small, you're really looking at everybody and you're like, oh, is my kid meeting these milestones? Or, you know, what are they doing? And so, yeah, I think the idea of being good enough and solid enough, you know, like, okay, like if I'm giving them enough, they're going to be fine. So I think that, and then curiosity. For me, that is the most powerful tool I feel like that I have harnessed as a mother. Like I've harnessed it in my professional identity, but personally, not as much. And having a toddler, I think I've just learned like when I'm curious about what's happening with me, what's happening with her, then our worlds open up and I'm out of that power struggle or I'm in a totally different place. So I think, yeah, just curiosity is like my favorite part of how I've changed is becoming a mom.
Oh, and one for you too. They'll potty train when they feel like it. There's no, yeah. Like, I just don't even try. I don't think potty training is a thing. When they want to pee and poop on the toilet, they'll just do it.
Yeah, they'll redo it. I have three now to it so differently. All three of them, like, so drastically different. When yeah. Also, like, my mentality at different times different.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong. You do you, Cole. Do
yeah, there's no right or wrong, but do it. They'll do it when they want to, and don't stress yourself out about it. Yeah.
I think something that also comes with motherhood is just like recognizing the different seasons. You know, that there are moments that are going to feel tougher. There are moments that are going to feel lighter. There are moments that are going to feel more joyful. There are like, and kind of in aggregate, you know, over the course of an extended kind of period of time. And, you know, what I think one of the privileges of growing in parenthood is knowing that like that season's going to end. There's going to be a new season. And that has been something that has been like really helpful for me when we're in a tough moment, knowing like it's going to pass. And Megan, you alluded to it before. And it's like, I will say it's one of the expressions I personally don't like, you know, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. It's like, the problem that you are having, and not that that's what you said. That's not
different at all. If I have one more person tells me, like, just wait till they're teenagers, I'm here to tell you with like kids that are like all potty trained and like, you know, wipe their own butts and sleep in their own beds, like it gets so much easier. Let me have this right now. I'm sick and I'm a big kid.
No, enjoy your mom. Like, yes, no,
let me have this. We're in a sweet spot. Like, I they're
at a beautiful season. Enjoy it. Just like,
that's this is good. And he's going to middle school next year, and I've already heard things around like, oh, just wait until he's in middle school. And I'm like, no, I'm not going. But I also have a theory too. If we, you know, I feel like you're a psychiatrist, she can play this. But I feel like as parents, we get into this rhythm of the kids are a little bit older, they're getting better, and like it's getting a little bit easier. I also have to make sure that I don't slip as their parent, even though it's easier to make sure that they are being raised as good humans, because I feel like it could be easy to just kind of not parent the way I used to when they were toddlers and preschoolers, and now they're getting older. I have to like stick with it and check in, and you know, the curious piece, like I'm always like need to know. I don't know, I feel like it's getting easier, but that doesn't mean that my parenting style or my parenting in general can slip at all, because they're about to need me even more probably as the older they get.
Yeah, I think just different challenges, you know, different challenges at different moments, and your kids are different people, you're different people. Like I love that someone says this far better than I'm about to say it, but like when you have your first, if you have multiple children, like you are a person in that moment. And when you have your second, you're a different person than you were when you had your first. And when you have your third or fourth, whatever it might be, like you are continually evolving. Your experience is continually evolving. You might be in a different, whatever it might be. So I think it's give yourself grace, give your children grace, you know, like all those things that we're kind of describing. But I think that it's recognizing all of that. And then Megan, just to go off of what you were saying as our very final note, you were sharing, you know, don't lose sight of you and that it's very important. Is there something that you all engage in that for yourself is very therapeutic? What would that be? Like if you were to name one or two things that it's like, this is what I go to for my well-being and my mental health, what does that look like for you?
I'm a reader. I've become a reader. There was a time a few years ago when someone would ask me, well, what are you reading right now? And it would be The Very Hungry Caterpillar. It would be whatever my kids were reading or what I was reading to them. My son is in middle school and he asks me to read whatever book they're reading so we can discuss it, help with homework. So I do that. But I also have my own book. I read. That's my escape now.
I like the gym, mainly because I didn't go to it in the pandemic. And then when we moved to Charlotte, I started going back to the gym. And I think that 45 minutes a day every morning by myself really resets my like priorities. I make better decisions if I work out in the morning. That is my, and it also keeps me calmer and I'm more level-headed. But I also, without saying, I like my job. I do enjoy my job. I get to be creative. I get to do fun things. I get to think outside the box. So in a way, my job was a lot of the times like a relief for me, which I know that's not for a lot of people. So I don't think that's helpful, but I do enjoy my job.
I don't think that you are alone in that experience. Like I personally think for all four of us, and I don't want to speak on anyone's behalf, but like, we all enjoy what we do. We're all passionate about what we do. It gives us a sense of self as well. So I don't think that you are alone. And I do like, yes, could work be work, of course.
There's things that I don't like, but for the most part, I'm creating, I'm doing fun things. I'm making campaigns. I'm, you know, launching fun thing. I enjoy my job a lot. But I know a lot of people either, you know, don't have, you know, or can't work, or, you know, it makes more sense for their family to stay home. And like, I did that for around 6 months and I was extremely unhappy. And I think that was like really eye opening for me after my second was born, that was not the right path for me, that I need to be creating. That's where Girl Gone Child started. It was my 6 month stay at home mom step. I didn't do well sitting well. I also don't think it's good for the kids to have me as their full-time parent all the time. I don't think that's my strong suit either. You can't be a good parent all the time. It's too hard.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just mindfulness, like figuring out how to cultivate more of it. And I do like silly little things, quirky things. Like there's always essential oils like being blended in my bathroom or in my office or something. We have eucalyptus in our shower, like just sort of little things that I can do where I can just kind of like smell something or settle into something for a couple of minutes. I'm not a big meditator, but I do really enjoy just like a couple of minutes each day of just like, oh, be with yourself, Colby, for like a couple of minutes. Drop in. Like, where are you? Are you here? You know? So that sort of stuff I think has been really important for me.
And you have older ones, Felipa. My daughter's like hot girl walks is what I call them. So they come home from school, we have a snack, and then we'll go for a walk around the neighborhood and just talk about our day. They like that.
I do that too with my girls.
I call them hot girl walks. We just go for a little walk around the neighborhood and chit chat. Nice.
For me, it's structural drawing.
I mean, look at your wall behind me.
This is my therapy. This is like straight up therapy for me. Dude, I love drawing buildings. I usually draw buildings. That's like my thing. And romance novels. As you were saying it, Philip, I was like, oh, I need to pick up a new book. I need to get, like, I am never more, like, my body is at homeostasis when I'm reading a good romance novel. And why am I not doing that more? And thank you for reminding me that I need to go. With Mother's Day coming up, with my birthday coming up, I'm gonna go get me a stack of romance novels right now.
There you go.
So with that, I will say thank you. Thank you all for joining. And again, I think kind of the celebration around, like, motherhood looks different for everybody, and yet there are unifiers that we're all doing our best in, you know, in any given moment. I think kind of the camaraderie around it. All three of you have been in, you know, in various moments helped lift me up, and, you know, I appreciate that. And I'm grateful for that. I'll give a shout out to my mom and to all of your moms, in advance of Mother's Day. And again, thank you so much. Thank you for being open, for being honest, for sharing. And I think other people will really appreciate it as well. Thank you.
What is everyone getting for Mother's Day?
Some alone time.
I'll ask for her. I'm not getting it this year. Good for you.
Yeah. We have a baseball tournament all day.
I have like a jam. My birthday. My birthday always lands. Sorry, Cole, do you go?
No, I was gonna say we have a ballet recital.
Nice.
That was nice of them. Yeah.
My birthday is always within like a few days of Mother's Day. And so like my whole thing is always like, whether like I get two meals. I get two really exquisite meals. That's always, you know, what I ask for. So whether or not it actually lands on the day or not, it doesn't matter. But kind of like within that week, I want like I want really good food.
Yeah. My youngest was actually born, or actually we found out I was pregnant with her on Mother's Day. So she will always be my Mother's Day treat. Aww. She was a surprise baby.
Yeah. Fun fact, on the first Mother's Day, I gifted each of my siblings with pea sticks, telling them that I was pregnant. I did it again for child two and three. You would think by the third, I think they were like, no, you're gross. I'm not opening this. I know what's going on. We're done. I'll never have you. But yeah, the first two were on Mother's Day that I shared with them. So anyway, yes, sweet nostalgic feelings of Mother's Day. Thank you again. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, and here's to us keeping on.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, ladies.
Happy Mother's Day.